Chapter 5. Lepidus Prime, Orbital.
"Remind my steward to use less starch in future," said Kulik, fidgeting with a stiff collar of his shirt.
"I shall pass on the message," said Schaffenbeck, in an absent-minded way that conveyed that he would do no such thing, because Kulik was never happy with the starch of his collars. Throughout their time together, the captain's shirts had always been understarched or overstarched, depending on mood, as though there was some infinitesimally small sweet spot that he desired that no mortal could ever attain.
"And remind me never to accept an invitation to one of these gatherings," Kulik continued.
He moved his agitation to the heavy brocaded cuffs of his coat. Never comfortable in full dress uniform, the captain was sweltering, positive that rivulets of sweat were coursing down his face. Turbine-like fans in the launch bay ceiling spun lazily, doing little to disperse the body heat of the 100 or so assembled officers who had come aboard the defiant monarch at Admiral Acaria's request. Kulik knew as well as every other commodore, captain, and commander present that such requests were not ignored without good reason. As well as the visiting ship commanders, each with their seconds and some with other hangers-on, there were nearly 24 lesser officers from the defiant monarch and the same number again of petty officers marshalling the small army of attendants, serving drinks and food.
"Wine or water?"
asked Schaffenbeck, accosting a passing steward.
"Both," growled Kulik.
A moment later, a fluted glass of bubbling white wine was in his right hand. The captain swiftly downed the contents, and the empty glass was exchanged for a stein of almost clear water. Surprised, Kulik sniffed the contents. It didn't smell of anything. He cocked an eye at Schaffenbeck.
"Non-reclaimed hydrates. The Admiral really is trying to impress us.
Tenders were moving about 30,000 litres of the stuff from Lepidus this past week," said Schaffenbeck.
Kulik knew he could rely on the lieutenant to be abreast of everything going on around the fleet. It was the main reason he overlooked his second-in-command's abuse of the command comms channel, which by regulations was for the ship's captain only.
"And what of the Admiral himself?"
Saul nodded to the left. Kulik turned and saw Acaria standing in a gaggle of attentive captains and commanders, his flag captain Brusek like a bodyguard beside him. Acaria was an unimposing man, of average height and features. His one distinguishing mark was a scar running from his right ear to his lip, a ragged line of red against almost white skin. In contrast, Brusek was a giant of a man, with a black bushy beard streaked with grey, his head covered in an unruly mop of the same. Instinctively, Kulik ran a hand across his scalp, checking his hair was smoothed down.
"Stories say that the scar was suffered in combat at the hands of pirates around the Perithian nebulae," Schaffenbeck said.
"And less favourable tales claim Acaria fell down a flight of stairs whilst drunk," countered Kulik.
Despite his dislike of Acaria's grandstanding and obvious politicking, Kulik was inclined to favour the former explanation.
"I served with Acaria briefly on board the Lord of Hosts, you know."
"I did not realise. You must have been only an ensign."
"Not quite. I was 12th lieutenant. Acaria was second. He was competent. Fair. Nothing spectacular, but nothing terrible either. I suspect he would have made flag rank eventually, even without licking the boots of the Lord High Admiral. Was very fond of quoting Eskenstein's Navis Tactitus Superium every few minutes. I think he must have memorized it, but never really learnt it."
"Ah, and here comes the other godly being," said Schaffenbeck, stepping back slightly so that Kulik could see past him.
"Hush your blasphemy," Kulik replied automatically.
The lieutenant's retreat revealed the crowd parting for a short but handsome man, officers peeling aside like waves at the prow of a seagoing ship. The new arrival was dressed in stark black, a rarity amongst the usual dark blue that signified a period of officer service in the prestigious Sol fleet, and wore a peaked cap that cast a deep shadow over his face from the stark lighting strips overhead. The man nodded and smiled in response to greetings from those around him, his head moving left and right constantly, as if seeking out something. His search was successful as he spied Kulik and raised a hand in greeting.
"Admiral Price," said the captain with a nod and a slight bow. "Raphael, good to see you," said Kulik's immediate superior.
Admiral of the Rimwood Flotilla. Price tucked his cap under his arm, revealing slightly ruffled, shoulder-length blonde hair, and suddenly he seemed in his late 30s, rather than the early 50s. He grinned, wiping away another 10 years with a boyish expression. Kulik could well understand the rumours that Price embodied the naval tradition of having a girl, several girls, at every station he visited.
"I was not expecting you, sir," said Kulik.
He glanced towards Zakaria, who had noticed the appearance of his rival and was making his way through the throng in their direction.
"My invitation must have been lost in the warp somehow," Price said with a wink. "I'm sure Solar Baron Krasir Lakaria, Admiral of the Fleet, fully intended for me to attend."
Kulik rubbed his chin thoughtfully and turned as Zakaria approached.
"Dominius, I thought you would be too busy with berthing orders and requisitions mandates," said Zakaria.
His voice was slightly higher pitched than most men's, though it made up in volume what it lacked in gravitas.
"After all, I thought you loved that sort of thing. If I had known you would prize yourself away from your desk and forms, I would have sent a cutter for you."
"Such consideration would have been unnecessary, Admiral Lakaria," Price replied evenly, ignoring the insult. "As it is, my lighter will be taking me back to Colossus, where I shall raise my flag."
Kulik looked sharply at Price.
"Sorry, Raphael. Here are your orders," Price continued, slipping a small envelope from the pocket of his coat.
He handed it to Kulik and then returned his attention to Zakaria.
"Any word for the fleet from the Lord High Admiral yet?"
Zakaria shook his head slowly. There was the brief exchange of a glance between the Admiral and his flag captain. Price noticed it too.
"I see that perhaps you're finally going to show some initiative," said Price.
"The chain of command exists for a reason," said Zakaria. "It would be anarchy if we all started interpreting orders to our own satisfaction. That is, as you well know, the sort of thing that would get a man relegated to a life of convoy babysitting and patrols to half-remembered star forts on the Segmentum Rim."
Price's smile faded. He was about to speak but stopped himself, instead relieving a passing steward of a small glass of some amber-coloured liquor. He sniffed the contents of the tumbler and raised his eyebrows in surprise.
"Neo-Scotian whiskey? The real thing?"
There was genuine appreciation, perhaps even awe, in Price's voice and expression. He took a sip.
"By the Emperor. It really is."
"A century old, and more,"
Zakaria said smugly, taking a glass of the same from the steward, who had stopped at Kulik's elbow. He held the drink up to the light and turned it to and fro, gold refracting onto the pale flesh of his hand.
30,000 light-years from home, and still as pure as the sunlight that fell on the grain that made it."
"If only I'd known."
Price paused to gulp down the remaining contents of his glass, eliciting a wince from Zakaria, who must have paid a small fortune just for one bottle of the precious alcohol. Price's eyes widened a little, and he gave a slight shudder of pleasure.
"If only I'd known that influence could bring such rewards, I would have started kissing Admiral Lansing's arse years ago."
Zakaria's cheeks reddened, and his lips trembled with anger as he glared at Price.
"Of course," Price continued with some bitterness. "I was too busy babysitting convoys and running supplies to half-forgotten outposts, wasn't I?"
With a snarl, Admiral Zakaria turned sharply and stalked away, tossing his glass carelessly aside, the expensive liquor splashing on the deck. Brusek sighed and shook his head.
"Come on, Captain,"
said Price, turning in the opposite direction. Kulik stepped to follow, but was stopped by Brusek's hand on his arm. The huge man glanced left, then right, and then leaned down to speak softly in Kulik's ear.
"A word of warning, Raphael. Admiral Zakaria has sent orders to the Corwood fleet to make translation. He's going to lead a relief force to Port Sanctus."
"Sanctus? You mean the orcs haven't overrun the shipyards there yet?"
"Latest reports are that the docks and orbital platforms are still holding out. If we can break the blockade, the Sanctus sector fleet will be added to our strength."
"So, why haven't I received these orders yet?"
"Price,"
said Brusek, looking over Kulik's shoulder at the receding figure of the Admiral.
"Zakaria wants to leave behind the Rimwood fleet, make it look like Price was sat in his arse twiddling his thumbs while the Corwood flotillas earn the glory."
"And how am I to know that this isn't some sort of ploy of Zakaria's to get Price to break ranks and head off on his own, earning him further scorn from the Lord High Admiral? If the Admiral goes against orders again, Lansung's all but promised to have him hung for mutiny."
"Let's not play this game, Raphael," said Brusek.
He straightened up and laid an arm across Kulik's shoulders. He smiled at the other officers milling around and kept his voice quiet.
You and me, we've got to keep the admirals focused, right? Believe me, I have no desire to jump into Port Sanctus with half the available ships. We don't know how strong the orcs really are, but I'd rather have every gun I can and see some go unfired than go into that fight without everything we've got. Trust me, Raffel, there's no good to come of this if we don't all go.
And I assume you've said as much to Akaria? Cheap jibes aside, it really isn't like him to show this kind of independence. Has he received word from the Lord High Admiral?
No orders from Terra. I'd have seen them. I tried convincing Akaria not to go this way, but he won't listen.
Brusek shrugged, setting the tassels of his epaulets swaying like clock pendulums.
Seems he's taking advice from some young commodore, name of Sartinus.
I don't know this Sartinus, but he's got connections back on Terra, and now he's got the Admiral's ear, too.
Akaria's claiming the plan is his own, of course, but I smell Sartinus all over it. Don't ask me why some commodore fresh out of the Sol fleet is so eager to get us to attack Port Sanctus.
That's all well above my station, I'm sure, said Kulik.
He offered his hand to Brusek.
Thank you for the alert.
Just get Price to come along, said the other flag captain, shaking Kulik's hand. I've got a bad feeling about this.
Brusek nodded and walked away, long strides taking him after Admiral Akaria. Saul fell in beside Kulik as the captain headed off after his superior.
What do you make of that?
He asked the lieutenant.
Brusek seems to be on the level, said Schaffenbeck. Word around the fleet is that he's the sort of captain you want in a crunch. Dependable, straightforward, honest. Come to think of it, I've no idea what Akaria sees in him.
Less of that, Lieutenant, Kulik replied.
If the admirals want to use us in their game, that's fine, but let's not choose sides.
I think the sides have already chosen us, sir, Saul replied stiffly. Admiral Price is using the Colossus as flagship, and Akaria wants nothing to do with the Rimwood fleet. I would say I know whose hand is feeding me.
That might be true, but Price isn't blameless. Like you say, he's decided to start playing this game too.
So are you going to tell him what Brusek said?
Certainly.
It's going to be no secret when Akaria's ships leave their berths, so I'd rather not have it look like I don't know what's happening. I should have realized something was amiss when I received the invitation to this gathering. Most of the men here are Akaria's. A final send-off, no doubt.
Price had been waylaid by the intervention of various junior officers looking for favor or simply to meet one of their heroes. Price's reputation as a maverick had earned him some admirers amongst a certain type of officer. He was about to step into the corridor that joined the cleared landing bay with the neighboring flight deck when Kulik caught up with him.
"Took your time?" said the Admiral, clearly in a surly mood after his encounter with Akaria.
What had probably started out as a bit of light-hearted goading in Price's mind had turned personal and sour very swiftly.
"What did that enormous oaf want with you?"
"Sir," said Kulik, with just enough admonition in his voice that the single word had become a catch-all reproach. It was a trick he had learned from Schaffenbeck. Price looked at him sharply, mouth curling with displeasure at the captain's tone.
"Captain Brusek is a capable officer, and we are fortunate that he is around to temper Admiral Akaria's excesses." "I suppose you're right," said Price a little petulantly. "Anyway, what were you two conspiring about?"
Kulik related the conversation almost verbatim while they traversed the linking corridor and entered the next flight bay. Cutters, shuttles and lighters from dozens of ships were packed into lines on either side of the exit strip. Admiral Price's was close at hand, as befitted his rank.
"We'll take the Colossus's cutter. Mine can head back to the Indefatigable," announced Price, absorbing the news from Kulik.
The air crew that had been fussing around the Admiral's shuttle slunk back into the gloom between the bulky craft. They walked in silence across the deck, heading for Kulik's lighter, which had been parked somewhat further away from the main deck than was polite for an officer of his rank. Just as with the ship's berth, Admiral Akaria was displaying his disdain.
"We won't go, of course," said Price as they reached the Colossus's shuttle.
One of the junior lieutenants, Cabrio, oversaw the deck crew moving the boarding steps into place. Kulik said nothing as they ascended to the craft, preferring not to say anything in front of the lower ranks.
"I think that would be unwise," said Kulik when the door to the captain's cabin had been sealed,
leaving the captain, admiral, and lieutenant to speak without being heard. That's what Akaria wants you to do. If you don't go and the relief attack fails, he can blame you for not supporting his fleet. But if I do go, we'll probably win, and that smug bastard will take all the credit for the action, replied Price. His decision, let him live by it or die by it. And the men that serve in his fleet, is it their decision? They knew the risk when they joined up, Price said quickly. We don't get to choose where the enemy are, nor where we might be required to lay down our lives. Cooley considered this for a moment, appalled by the sentiment. Price must have read something in his expression. What? You look like you've just found out your favorite port doxy as the underpox. Forgive my forwardness, but this isn't like you, Admiral. That's the sort of thing I'd expect to hear from the likes of Akaria. You never struck me as a commander who sees his men as expendable. This rivalry with Akaria, it's changing you into something I don't think you intend. If we let Akaria charge off with just his fleet, more men will die. Most of those ships will not come back, and you know that's true. Price said nothing for a little while, but sat staring at the decking. When he did speak, he was quiet, showing the humility that had earned Kulik's respect 10 years earlier when they had first met. Sorry, Raffle. He looked the captain in the eye and moved his gaze to Schaffenbeck. Your captain can be quite the moralizer, can't he? He has a keen insight at times. He got that from me, Admiral, said the lieutenant, without any hint of irony or humour. Some of our ships are still resupplying, and the Conqueror and Heavenly Wrath are docked for refitting, said Kulik. It'll take at least 5 days to get the Rimward Flotilla ready, never mind some other parts of the fleet. If Akaria intends to take his ships out for translation tomorrow, we'll be running to keep up. Yes, but I can't just send my ships out piecemeal. Price folded his arms and leaned back with eyes closed. We'll split the fleet into two waves. Ships ready at present, except the Colossus, will be seconded to Akaria's ship and leave straight away. We'll take the stragglers in the second wave. You'll give command of the ships to Akaria. Isn't that what he wants? Said Saul. You know he'll use our ships as the vanguard if we let him, sending them in while holding back his, added Kulik. Temporary command, gentlemen, said Price, opening his eyes. But good point, Raffle. I'll set the transit order for 2 days' time. That should give Akaria's fleet enough of a head start. Does it bother you that Akaria's forced us into this position? Asked Kulik. It occurs to me that perhaps I'm being used by Brusek. It would be a bit of a climb down if Akaria had to request you support him in the attack at Port Sanctus. Maybe he's relying on your better nature to follow him into battle. But this way, he'll look like the leader rather than an equal. Yes, to all of your points, said Price. He pulled something from his coat pocket, a silver flask, engraved with a seal of Neo Scotia's Distillarius Superior. Price laughed and winked. I managed to swipe this from one of the stewards. Small recompense, but it'll do for now. Price took a swig and lifted the container in toast. Here's to the spoils of politics, he said with a laugh. Kulik took the proffered flask and laughed too, but only on the outside. The politics of admirals would soon get lots of men killed. He hoped it would be worth the sacrifice.